the rest of you cowboys to know something. There's a new sheriff in town.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with a radio blastin' and the bird dog gone. There's a deep trap of a head sound of town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Me and my boys got the trigger wound, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Are you going to agree? Our freedoms are waning and we'll lose our liberty. Slipping one by one until there's nothing left to see. Are you willing to stand with me? Are you just going to let it be? The ranchers are first, but brother, next it may be me. We all stand together or we'll hang separately. Are you going to the tree? Are you willing to be free? It won't get any easier to regain lost liberty. Strange things are happening in this land that once was free. So brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
The truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench, coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench.
Yeah, and here we are. It looks like we've got our sound fixed, at least for now. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is Monday, the 23rd of July, and the first thing I need to do is apologize for Friday night. It was absolutely atrocious, and I had no control over it. It was because of the vast amounts of rain that we've gotten here lately. So I promised that we'd do this Cajun show, this Kunash show again. So this coming Friday, I have nothing unless we get another torrential downpour here and floods the earth in this part of the country, then everything's back up and running. It seems to be doing well. So the Nan made it in there tonight. And we're going to do that Cajun music show again. So if you like Coonass music right fresh out of Southwest Louisiana, well, then you need to show up here Friday night at 8 o'clock Pacific time. And we'll have 2 hours of pretty much nonstop Cajun music. And that's all the music we're going to play. So there you have it. August 4th. For those of you that are within reasonable driving distance, I'd call 1,000 miles reasonable driving distance. Well, maybe 500. Sylvia Allen, Senator Allen, has invited Jeanette Finnicum down here, and she's going to speak. And also, we're going to play part one of Dead Man Talking, which is a documentary done about her husband Lavoie and his murder. It's going to be a great, great evening. There's going to be a guy named Bob Stager there, who is a former BLM agent, who was actually in charge of everything in the beginning with the Bundys. He lives not too awful far from me. And he actually wound up quitting, and partly due to the way things were done there. He opposed pretty much everything that they did. I sat and had a long talk with Bob here, a week or so ago. And interesting man, interesting stories. He's done a lot. He's got a lot of stuff to talk about. And then there'll be... Nan, really? You've never listened to Cajun music? Oh, dear me. You need to be here Friday night. Cajun music, as I said, Cajun music is a little bit of an acquired taste. It's not for everybody. I don't know if I can listen to it 24/7, but I can listen to it quite a bit. I like it a lot. So, anyway. What else? This will be taking place. The paper says it starts at noon. I was under the impression it started at 11, so I'm going to call and double check on that. But this deal will start. It's going to be at 113 North Main, which I think is the Chamber of Commerce building in Snowflake, Arizona. And you're only, 30 miles or so south of I-40, so if you can make it that far and just dash down south on Highway 77, about 30 miles or so, and you'll be there. So come check it out. We had a tragic incident here yesterday at an LDS church in Fallon, Nevada. Amy's got some family that lives up in that part of the country. And they during the meeting, some guy just got up and walked over to someone who had been a longtime friend of his and shot him point blank, killed him, shot another person. I think the second person was probably an accident. The second person was shot in the leg, I think it was probably a miss, went through the pew, hit the concrete and hit somebody in the leg. I don't know that for a fact, but it's what I'm guessing. And he just walked out and went home. And police arrested him pretty much without incident. So it had nothing to do with, of course, he was the nicest guy in the world. They always are. I'm sure he was. But this is the one thing that no amount of gun control, no amount of laws, no amount of anything, sometimes people just snap. Have no idea what causes it, whether it's stress or, I would say stress is probably the number one reason. But this guy just popped for some reason. He was well-liked, loved in the church, and he just fell off the deep end there for some reason. Shot, officially they say he shot somewhere between 4 and 8 shots. I don't know how many received, who received how many, but anyway, it's irrelevant at this time. So, thoughts and prayers going out to this, Fallon's not a very big town, and I'm sure they, you know, there's a decent number of the townspeople go to that church or, you know the people that were there. So it's going to affect a lot of people. So anyway, let's see, let me. Oh, Doc saw that story. Yeah, I saw that, first thing. Yeah, you did, Doc. You did tell me that. Yeah, it wasn't the first thing in the morning. It was in the afternoon. Best I could tell, it happened somewhere between noon and 2 o'clock local time there, and I'm not sure exactly when it was, but it was afternoon anyway. And, yeah, happy birthday, Nan. It's your day. No, it was. When was it? Friday. It's this coming Friday, right? Heck, I don't know. We talked about it, and now I forgot. It was last Friday. Yeah, last Friday. Okay, so happy birthday last Friday, all right? There, I said it. All right, another thing. Hey, you know, I'm going to ask, is Mountain Shooter with us tonight? Let me double-check here and see. He's not here, and he may have some interest in this. So, I have two, well, I had three, now I have two 338.6s, and I've talked about that quite a bit over the last few years. It's been, oh, hell, it's probably been 3 or 4 years or so since I've talked about it, but it is a magnificent caliber. It's just, you know, 100 feet or so behind the 338 Win Mag. It's easy to load for. It's just nothing but a 30-06 necked up to 338 caliber. Very simple one-step resizing process. Trim it, load it, and you're ready to go. So, you know, surplus brass is very plentiful for it. Easy to load for. And it's very efficient because you get, you're basically putting in just about the same amount of powder that you do with your 30-06 projectiles, your 30 caliber projectiles, except you're shooting anywhere from, you know, 165. The 165 would be armor piercing or copper, you know, like the Barnes bullets. But there's some 185s, 200s, 225s, 250s, a few 275s, and I think somebody makes a 300 for it. I'm not positive, but I know there's lots of 250s out there. So it's a pretty versatile caliber, and you know, it's something that you can, nobody wants to go out with a 338 Win Mag or a 375 H&H or a 458 or something like that and shoot prairie dogs. But you can do it with this one because it doesn't cost any more, with the exception of maybe a little bit more for projectiles, because you can't get surplus 338 projectiles. But if you're using just fairly generic type bullets, it doesn't cost any more to load than the 30-06. So if you want to go out and shoot jackrabbits or something with it, you can. And it's a great deer and elk gun. I killed a deer, when was it? When it was in Farmington, it was probably 2007, 6 or 7. And I can't remember exactly how far. I think he was 265 yards. He was 265 or 365, I don't remember for sure. But whatever it was a, I don't like fast bullets like the, you know, 25-06 is a great killer. It does a good job, but it's so fast, you know, you hit them wrong, and it destroys a lot of meat, does a lot of damage. And the bigger, slower bullets, 45-70, for instance, excellent killer, does a wonderful job, fast, humane, but your trajectory, you know, it's not a great longer range gun. You know, you get out much past, you know, 200 yards or so, and you got to have start making some adjustments there. But thank you, Mimi. That was nice. I mean, I don't know if you know it, but I'm LDS too. So the 338.6 is that I won't say compromise. I'll say it's the best of both calibers, of both worlds there, where you have a little bit more speed to make some good longer range shots out, you know, 400 or 500 yards is not a problem at all with this caliber. And it's still not so blazingly fast that it absolutely destroys everything when it hits it. When I shot that deer, it literally, I have pictures, it literally cut the vessel, the aorta and the vessels on top, literally cut it loose, and it was hanging in the membrane basket there that holds it up, that surrounds it. And I think it went through, I've got pictures, obviously. I think it went through both lungs and the heart. I don't remember. But anyway, it, you know, he took two steps and piled up. And absolutely zero, not one single, well, okay, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt and say there was 1 ounce of meat damage, and that was where the bullet exited. But I really love it. So the whole point of all this long, drawn-out bunch of crap here is that I'm going to get rid of one of them. I'm keeping my best. Well, what I think is my best. And this one is a hard decision for me because it was, the one that I'm getting rid of was built on my dad's rifle. It's a 721 Remington. It was originally a 270. And, it's got a Timney trigger. The Timney trigger needs adjusted, and tuned up a little bit. It's not, it's brand new. It's not been tuned the way I like it, but it's got a bolt from what is it, Pacific Tool Engage, I think it is. Now, the bolt itself alone, without any gun attached to it, is $200-something. And so it's a great shooting gun. It was built by Ken Griner over in Farmington. Does a great job. He's built several guns for me. Really like his work. He's reasonably priced, and I'm real happy with everything that he's done for me so far. And anyway, I'm going to. It still has the original wooden stock on it, but the custom bolt Timney trigger, and I think I'm not going to swear to that. I think it has a Douglas barrel on it, but I'm not positive. It's a tapered sporter weight barrel. It's not a heavy barrel. And the barrel is 24 or 26 inches. Now, I wanted to do one and cut it down to 20 inches. Matter of fact, I threatened to take this one and cut it down to 20 inches. And if nobody buys it here pretty quick, I still might do that. But it would be kind of a hog gun, brush gun, you know, dangerous game or whatever. I'm going to lose a lot of efficiency because with that short barrel, the powder is not going to burn up completely. I'm going to lose some velocity. You know, you can do that and get away with it with some calibers. You know, 308 is excellent, does a marvelous job with 19-20-inch barrels. Matter of fact, I've got two of them. And a lot of these other calibers do fine with shorter barrels, but you get into these bigger calibers and a lot of powder, and you need a certain amount of barrel there to make sure that all the powder burns up completely and you get all the velocity that you can out of it. So if I were to happen to keep that and cut it down to 20 inches. I just have to understand that I'll lose quite a bit there. But still got another one, so doesn't matter. Let's see. So, news. What have we got in the news here? One of the things is, I just saw this today, and I'm surprised that it's gone as far as it has. It's, here it goes. Okay. I'm surprised this went as well as it did because of the times that we live in right now with handguns being demonized by everyone on the left and everything. But they're working on, since 1968, it has been illegal to buy a handgun that was not in your state of residence. Now, I have to explain that a little bit because it's not, what I mean is you cannot buy it, walk out with it, and go home. It has to be transferred to a dealer in your state. You cannot legally buy a handgun, not from an individual, not from a family member, or certainly not from a dealer or a gun show in another state, and transfer it back to your home state legally. It must go through an FFL transfer. So even if technically, now people do it all the time, get away with it, so don't tell me, well, I did this. Oh, maybe you did, but you broke the law, okay? That's just the way it is. If your granddad gives you an old World War II handgun, a relic, something he brought home from the war. Doesn't make any difference. He gives you a handgun. I don't care where in the hell it came from. He gives you a handgun. You cannot legally, let's say you live in Arizona and your grandpa lives in Washington, and you go up there to visit and he gives you a handgun, you cannot bring that handgun back to Arizona legally without doing an FFL transfer. What has to happen legally, like I said, everybody does it, but it's not legal. What needs to happen is you take it down to the local gun shop in Washington and you say, this is my, my name is Grandpa and I'm giving this gun to this grandson right here, and he wants to take it back to his home state. I need you to ship it to this FFL, this address in Phoenix, Arizona. So he takes the gun, logs it in, just as if he was buying it from a distributor, and packages it up, sends it to the FFL of your choice in Phoenix, Arizona, where you go down, grandson goes down and fills out the paperwork, the yellow sheet, the 4473. It's not yellow anymore. It used to be. And just as if you were purchasing it new from the dealer. That's how it has to happen legally. It's been that way since 1960-something. However, with instant background checks now, which they did not have in 1968, since NICS came along, and we can all do this instantly, what is the purpose? What possible benefit is there to go through all this crap with a handgun now? Correct answer? None. It's retarded. They should have stopped this in the 90s. But they're working on doing it now where it's a very close vote. They're still working on it. I don't think it's been resolved yet. But write your Congress critters and see if we can get this fixed. You can buy a rifle over the counter. Now, before you run off and tell everybody you can do that, I have to put this disclaimer in there. Is that right? if you buy a rifle, federal law says that you can buy a rifle and transport it across state lines, providing you're not a prohibited possessor, you're not a felon or whatever. Not all states let you do that. California will not let you do that. Even though the feds say it's okay, some states will not allow it for us. So before you dash off to cross state lines and get in an argument with a gun dealer when he tells you you can't do it because you heard Cope Reynolds say it on the shooting bench, understand that some states don't let you do it. So check your state laws. The dealer probably knows. I say probably because there's some that really don't. But most likely he knows. If you have doubts about it, look it up. We have the internet. It's the 21st century. It takes like 8 seconds to look up anything in the world that you want to know is on the internet. And you can find it on your phone in just a minute. So, let's see. Let me look at the chat room here and see what's going on. Doc is absolutely right about the Savage. It's a, I think Savage is a vastly underestimated, underappreciated rifle. I don't like the Axis at all, but the 110 series, 116s, 112s, all of those, out of the box, I would put Savage against just about, well, I'd put it against any out of the box rifle out there. I don't know what it is about them. They're economical. They're not cheap, but they're cheaper than a lot of the rest of them. But they will damn sure shoot. I've seen one Savage in my life that had a genetic problem of some kind that I just couldn't make it shoot. But ordinarily, most of them, you pick them up out of the box, you don't need to do anything to them, tune the trigger up a little bit and take off. They will shoot. Let's see. Yeah, Doc is correct. In some states, Arizona, Wyoming, Mississippi, several states, if your concealed carry permit meets certain provisions, then you don't have to go through the background check. That does not change the fact that you cannot do transfers from out of state. You still have to fill out the background check. They just don't call the feds. You still have to fill out the 4473, no matter what state you're in. That is federal law. If you're buying from a dealer, but you don't have to make the call to the feds. You just fill out the form, pay the man, walk out the door. So Arizona is one of those states that. You don't have to do that. And Yakima Glock, he says there's some stores and shops have store policies that they won't sell to out of state. That could be. I've never seen a store like that, but I don't doubt that there's probably some. But maybe Arizona never left CCW permits. They are a constitutional state, but they were smart enough to maintain their CCW system so that we have reciprocity with other states. The constitutional carry thing goes right out the window when you cross state lines if the state that you're going into does not also have constitutional carry. So as long as you're in state, constitutional carry, as they call it. It's a misnomer, but that's what they call it. You can travel freely about the country or about the state, but when you cross state lines, you're out of luck unless you have a permit. So fortunately, Arizona kept their permit system. You still can get a permit, and you still should. Another thing about having a permit in Arizona is that having it allows you to go into places that sell alcohol. But I don't drink. Well, but you eat pizza, right? You eat Mexican food, Chinese food. bunch of those places sell alcohol, so unless you are, if they sell alcohol by the drink, you cannot legally carry in there without a permit. If they do not have a sign up, and you have a permit, and you're concealed, you can carry in a place that serves alcohol. Why do I have noise coming over my... Let's just knock that out right now. Thank you very much. Does that make sense to you, Mimi? That's what has to go on here in Arizona. Let's see. Now, Matty Buck's getting Arizona and Utah. You know, Matty Buck, there's absolutely zero purpose whatsoever to get Utah if you're going to get Arizona. Arizona is the best permit in the state. Utah will not give you anything Arizona does not give you. So there's no use wasting the money. Get an Arizona permit. It's good in Utah. Arizona is good in more states than any other permit in the country. There's one or two that Florida will give you that Arizona doesn't, but there's more that Arizona gives you that Florida doesn't. So one thing I can say about Colorado is you do want to go ahead and continue and get your Colorado permit. Arizona is recognized in Colorado, but as a Colorado resident, the Arizona permit will not be good for you since you live there. Colorado does not recognize permits of Colorado, does not recognize non-resident permits possessed by residents of Colorado, if that makes sense to you. No, it does not make sense, but that's the best I can explain it. There's five or six, maybe seven states, I'm not sure, that will not recognize your permit if your permit is a non-resident permit. So let's say you are from Washington and you have an Arizona permit. Arizona doesn't care. You get still recognized in 36 states or 37 or 38, whatever it is now. But if you go to Colorado, since you're a non-resident, it will not be recognized. So that's how that works. So I'd say go ahead and get your Colorado and then get the Arizona and forget Utah. It'll do absolutely nothing for you that Arizona doesn't already do. All right, let's see if we can do something here just for the heck of it and take a little break. And I'll be back shortly.
Man. Now he rides his coat on an open the cowboy song as the coyotes sing along. Spirit of the boy rides tonight. Spirit of the boy rides tonight. On the mountainside,
I'm afraid to die. That it lives in your heart. You know what freedom is. What freedom isn't. Stand. Because when you stand, others will stand with you.
Cowboy stand.
No matter how it ends.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right. I have to push the right button there and get back going here again. Let me see what happened in the chat room while I was out and about. Maddie Buck, have your Colorado. Lima used to be a Utah instructor until Colorado bailed. Okay, outstanding. All right, let's continue on here. You know, the other day we talked about, there was a cop that showed his true colors there and his cowardice and something. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, I told you there was one out of Pima County that did just exactly the opposite. This sheriff's deputy in Pima County, I think I told you briefly what happened, but he was, he was we did a routine traffic stop there, and some way or another, I don't know what happened. If the somebody grabbed a hold of his tie and took off, or what? Anyway, he was dragged. The guy had shot him, and would then drug him with the vehicle. How far did he say he dragged him? It doesn't say how far, but he's dragging the deputy behind him. The deputy was able to free himself after being shot and dragged, run back and get his motorcycle, run the guy down, shot him and killed him. I love happy endings. This was a great story. This Deputy Velasco, good job, well done. Said the suspect got trapped behind backed up traffic. Deputy Velasco caught up to him. Suspect opened fire, shooting the deputy in the leg. Oh, he wasn't shot in the leg until after he got up there. So he was dragged for a little while, got loose, went and got the motorcycle, got shot in the leg, and then shot and killed the deputy. So, very good. There's been, especially for those of you on Facebook, there's been a thing put on there that says, make this go viral, and put on usually in Messenger. Well, it's a good story. I mean, there's the guy's kind of foul-mouthed, but there's several stories out there like it. But this guy was very, in spite of his language, he was very, very sincere. You could tell by listening to him that he was not joking. A neighbor had put up, had come to his door while he was away at work or whatever, and put a little note on the door. And on this note, it said, "I'm disgusted that you would fly this symbol of hate. Judging by the trucks in your driveway, I can only assume that you voted for Trump." Oh, really? In my truck somehow tells you that? "This is a disgusting house, and Bozeman deserves it." Bozeman, Montana, can you believe it? "Bozeman deserves better. If not taken down tonight, I will take it down myself. This is not a fight you want. We will win." Well, I can't play the video for you. But he called him out, and he said, "That flag is not coming down, and I will basically beat you to a parade rest if you come and even think about it." So I haven't heard any backup on it yet. I imagine the person was, I'm pretty willing to bet pretty good money that it's all bark and no bite, typical liberal jackass. But it's a pretty good video, though, except for the language. The you know, every once in a while we talk about justification of the use of lethal force and when you can do it, when you should do it, when you shouldn't. Now, it's not a matter of getting away with it. It's a matter of what's right and what's wrong. Well, here's a, you know, in some states, New Mexico is one of them, quite a few states, allow you to use lethal force to protect property. However, it doesn't say just exactly what the circumstances need to be or how much property is worth taking a life over. And we've talked about this before, and I've said that if I had, let's say, a champion stallion out there that was the how I make my living, or I don't care if it was a herd of cows or whatever that I provide for my family with these animals or something like that, then, yeah, I think it's worth stopping it, you know, by whatever means necessary. To shoot somebody for stealing your towel at the swimming pool, probably not. Might be a little hard to get away with in spite of what the law says. Stand your ground and castle doctrine laws will come into play for that sometimes. But this guy, this gas station owner, he chased a guy out of the store after he got in his car. The guy had stolen three cases of beer, $36 worth of beer from, this was in Lakeland, Florida. Tebow probably heard about this. In Lakeland, Florida, this just happened when, today, happened this morning. No, it happened on the 18th. It was updated this morning. I'm sorry. But at any rate, the guy ran out with three cases of beer, got in the car, and he didn't run. He just walked out, got in the car, and went to the driveway. And the father and son owned the station together. They run out there and shot the guy. Of course, the store owner was arrested. Now, here's kind of what you got to think about here. Yes, I am so with you. I know how pissed off you can be for somebody taking your belongings, taking something that you, whether it's a dollar or $1,000, it's still yours. I get that. I fully understand. But do you really think that it's worth spending time in jail? Maybe a lot of time in jail, maybe the rest of your life in jail for $36 worth of beer. $36 worth of anything. Or for $36. If it's a bag full of money and you're on your way to the bank and there's several hundred or several thousand dollars in there, and yes, that's how you pay your mortgage and feed your family and get supplies for the store and all that, okay, that's different. It's still money, it can still be replaced, but it's a little different than it is for $38, $36. $36 can be replaced. You likely won't even miss it, but you may miss the amount of time that you're going to spend in jail because of it. So they arrested this guy, and you know, we'll find out what happens to him. Of course, Florida has some funny way of doing things sometimes, so maybe Tebow can help us keep an eye on that and let us know what's going on down there over that little story there. No. Let's see here. There's another one out of Florida. Florida's really making the news here lately. This was this happened in a Florida parking lot in Pinellas County. And the woman there had watched a man shoot and kill her boyfriend and claimed that the shooter wanted somebody to be angry at. This is what the guy's girlfriend said. Said he wanted somebody to be angry at her. Police said he would not be charging with any crime as a result of the state's controversial self-defense laws. And you remember when... what was that guy's name that got in a fight that made such a big splash news? I can't believe I can't think of it. I followed that and they talked about it, you know, 100 times. Started with a T, not Trayvon Martin. Yeah, Trayvon Martin was the guy that he shot. Was it George somebody or something? Anyway, because of Florida's, as they say, controversial self-defense laws, the guy got away with it. Now, I think that he was, as I've said, I don't know how many times on this show, just because it's legal doesn't make it right, and just because it's right doesn't make it legal. Did he legally get away with this? Yes, and I could see how that could happen. But the thing is, he had other options. It was not necessary to kill the guy. Now, on the one hand, you can say, well, that's one more scumbag we don't have to worry about, and to some degree I agree with that, but, you know, you've taken away the opportunity for him to ever have a chance to reverse his course in life. The idea that... there's been a number of cases. The very first case in Florida, this was in Florida, neither was in Louisiana. The very first case of the Stand Your Ground law Make My Day Law is what they called it back then. The very first one was a kid, I believe he was a black kid, not that makes any difference, but it, you know, the fact that it was dark and everything may have some effect there. George Zimmerman, thank you, Doc and Tinker. This guy was looking for a party that was in that neighborhood. Now, the problem with this is the kid was deaf. And he walked up in this guy's yard. The guy went to the door with a gun, told him to stop and get out of his yard, and he didn't because he couldn't hear. It was dark, and he couldn't see, you know, everything that was going on. Neither one of them could see very well. He shot and killed that kid and got away with it. All he had to do, folks, was step in and shut the door. Call the cops. Was it legal? Yes. Was it right? Absolutely not. It was as wrong as it could possibly be. Just like that guy that shot those two illegals down in Texas. Was it legal? Yes, it was. It was stupid. It was uncalled for. And it was cold-blooded murder. But due to Texas' self-defense laws at the time, he got away with it scot-free. So, there you have it. Anyway, this they had decided that this guy is not going to be charged. And the sheriff said that he did not intend to charge him. Now, this guy, the shooter is white. This is going to cause more problems again. The shooter is white. The shootee was black. He's not going to be charged with the shooting death of Marcus McGlockton. McGlockton. He's got a Glock in there. He couldn't have been a bad guy. McGlockton, who was black. The 47-year-old shot and killed Mr. McGlockton. McGlockton. Boy, that's quite a handle. Last week in a parking area outside a convenience store in Clearwater, video showed the guy aiming at and shooting McGlockton as he sat on the floor. After Mr. McGlockton had shoved him to the ground after an argument over a parking spot became heated. The video showed McGlockton running back into the store after falling to the ground. He died 30 minutes later after being taken to the hospital. So, without being there, it's hard to say. But anyway, I won't play judge nor jury on this one. It's a little bit complicated, I guess. All right. Well, it's starting to get about that time to ease towards the door here. Let me check the chat room and see what's going on. The Doc says the shooter started the conflict with the woman, not the boyfriend, who was the one who attacked him. Stand your ground is a good law to a point. It has been taken advantage of more than one time. It's hard to, you know, very difficult, I guess, to really clarify exactly. That's what they have the jury for, is did you have, you're on the jury, you're supposed to make your decision according to what the law says. If you do not agree with the law, then you exercise your right to jury nullification. Judges and lawyers, and I don't know about lawyers, but anyway, judges hate juries that know about jury nullification. But be educated. Look it up. If you're going to go on jury duty, understand what jury nullification is and exercise that right if you feel the need to. Okay, I'm going to get on out of here. We'll see you guys Wednesday. And don't forget, Friday night is Cajun night. We're going to be doing Cajun music for 2 solid hours. I'm going to mix. So the only thing that's going to be the same is I'm leaving the first song where it was, and I'm going to go through the whole discussion there again about that first song. But Other than that, I'm going to mix it up, and we're going to do our thing again. Hopefully everything will go well, and we'll get done with it. So, Mimi, you better be here. I'm doing this for you. All right, I'll see you guys later. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.